This is DW News live from Berlin, counting the cost of 100 days of war. What the conflict has meant to the people killed and displaced in Gaza by Israel's military response to the Hamas attack on October the 7th. While in Israel, people call for the return of hostages still being held by Hamas as the war shows no signs of becoming to an end. Also on the program, an ongoing volcanic eruption burns homes in Iceland. The lava reaches the fishing community of Grindavik, consuming several buildings as well as important infrastructure. The town, close to the capital, was evacuated ahead of the eruption. I'm Nick Spicer. Welcome to the program. And we begin in the Middle East, where the war between Israel and Hamas has reached its 100th day. The fighting erupted after the Islamist militant group Hamas launched a terrorist attack on Israel on October the 7th. Israel responded with airstrikes and a ground invasion of the Gaza Strip. Since then, the toll has been devastating.
For the people of Gaza, the last 100 days have been nothing short of a disaster. Many have lost not just their homes, livelihoods and loved ones, but also any hope that life can ever return to normal.
A tragic, catastrophic, indescribable situation. Everyone saw thousands of martyrs and wounded. Those who were not martyred were wounded. Who wasn't wounded had their home destroyed. Those who didn't lose their homes were displaced.
No one in Gaza has been untouched by the conflict. This family say they used to be wealthy. But like thousands of other Gazans, they've been forced to flee. And now they're making pastries to survive. Just 100 days ago, we were living in paradise on earth. We had buildings, houses and possessions. We enjoyed a wonderful, luxurious life. Since the start of the war, we've lost everything. Our homes, our possessions, everything. In Israel too, the pain is real. Despite efforts to chase it away at this rave in Tel Aviv. It's one of a number of events taking place to mark the 100th day since the terrorist attack and to plead for the return of the more than 100 hostages still being held in Gaza, including one of the youngest abductees.
Is it possible to make something to freedom from the Hamas, to bring him and his family back to Israel to celebrate the birthday with his family? Is it possible?
Israel's government says it will push ahead with its campaign until the hostages have been returned and its other war aims have been achieved, including the elimination of Hamas and the threat it poses to the Jewish state.
Journalist Hazem Baloucha reported from Gaza until he fled to Jordan in November. I asked him what 100 days of war meant to him.
It's hard. Never expected that the war would be that long. As a Palestinian first, as someone from Gaza, that never expected this war to be that harsh and long and devastating. It's harder than anybody expected. Reaching an end is not so close. In Gaza, people think this is the longest, and all the conflicts before was like, if we compare it with this one, was a joke. This is the real war, a most destructive and most devastating war.
And particularly devastating for women and children who are being killed in greater numbers in this conflict than in many others. Can you tell us about the human toll, please?
The situation in Gaza after 100 days, you know, it's more layers of suffer, more layers of hardship. We are talking about lack of everything, shortages of food, medicine, water, drinking water, access to the hospitals, access to the outside world. Now Gaza is in the third day Near total blackout, communication blackout. There is no communication in Gaza, no internet, no basics. You know, people have a lot of suffer. I saw today videos from Gaza City, which is circulating on the social media. Thousands of people are rushing to a truck to get a bag or of a flower that aid comes from the south.
And we have news from Hamas. A spokesman for the armed wing of Hamas has been speaking about the conflict and any possible talks with Israel. What can you tell us about that?
It seems the talks and between the two sides, Hamas and Israel, through Egyptians or Qataris or other mediators, is facing difficulties, according to the politicians, whether from Hamas or from Israeli side, that they are talking about two different conditions. So it seems the gap is very wide. They reached lately, it seems it's not clear 100% that the humanitarian deal that Israel providing more aid to Gaza and medicine, which would allow Hamas to give that to the hostages in Gaza. So the appearance of the spokesperson today was a sign that the situation is very hard. What he said was very tragic. Still, the gap and the fighting is going on.
Okay, well, thank you so much for that insight on this somber anniversary. Journalist Hazem Belusha in Amman. Lava from a volcano which erupted early on Sunday in Iceland has reached the small fishing town of Grindavik. The lava flows here have set some buildings on fire. The main road to the town, as well as its electricity and hot water supply, have already been destroyed by the molten rock. The town's residents were evacuated on Saturday, so there is no immediate danger to life. Grindavik is some 40 kilometers southwest of the capital, Reykjavik.
For some in Grindavik, there may be little to come back to. Lava reached the small town just hours after residents were evacuated. It's the second time in less than a month that a volcanic eruption has sent locals scrambling. Officials rushed to get everyone out overnight after seismic activity intensified again.
We were waiting for an eruption up on the mountain, but not underneath the town. But nobody knows what will happen.
Authorities had been building walls to protect the town for weeks. But the latest eruption has sent lava welling up behind the defenses.
This seems to be only tens of meters from the town in the same line as the other fissure. And this is, of course, what we feared, that this would continue to open southwards.
While molten rock is cutting through roads, water pipes, and the town itself, the eruption isn't expected to cause the kind of huge ash clouds that grounded flights across Europe in 2010. But for residents watching images like these of their town going up in smoke, that fact will likely provide little comfort.
The inauguration of Guatemala's new president, Bernardo Arevalo, has been delayed by disputes in parliament. Lawmakers from his party have been forced to register as independents. The anti-corruption campaigner has endured a bumpy road to power since his election victory in August. Guatemala's attorney general has repeatedly tried to stop him from taking office in what the president-elect has called a coup attempt. And for more on this, let's go straight to our Latin America correspondent, Nicole Reese, who is in Guatemala City for us. Nicole, the president is due to be inaugurated today, but his party just got suspended from Congress. What does this mean?
Well, actually, I'm right here where this inauguration should take place, right behind in this building. And at the moment, nothing is moving forward due to this delay. This has partly to do with the suspension of El Movimiento Semilla. This basically for the party members means that they cannot take part in debates in Congress, that they cannot influence important debates, they can only vote. So this is a big issue. This is one ball, this is rolling right now. The other problem is that outgoing members of Congress usually need to make sure that the newcomers, the incoming government, gets their credentials. This happens in a ceremony before the inauguration. This should have happened this morning. It hasn't. And this is why there is an interruption of this ceremony. We don't know for how long. We don't know if it just stops and something else will happen. But obviously, this puts in jeopardy this whole inauguration today, because he needs to be inaugurated in a certain amount of time as well. An option that has been talked about before in the connection with the rumors of a coup d'etat was, for example, that the Congress could actually say that there will be an interim president. And then, of course, here we would see massive protests. But at the moment, there's a lot of uncertainty and this blockage of the ceremony. So we have to hang in here and see what happens. In the meantime, we're also hearing unconfirmed reports of colleagues from press that don't have access to Congress right now. They're asking for help so they can get in to actually see what's happening there. So at the moment, a lot of uncertainty and a bit of disorder, I'm afraid.
Okay, well, good to have you so close to the action and keeping abreast of what the president-elect will be doing. But listen, you spoke to him yesterday where he told you that corruption was at the heart of efforts to keep him out of power. I want our viewers to have a listen now.
The people who oppose us, who have tried and continue to try to stop us from coming to power and to prevent a government committed to change from succeeding, are from precisely that criminal political class, which is embedded in the political system and the institutions of the state. Those of them that still remain have realized that the victory given to us by the people of Guatemala is a mandate for a future free of corruption, which implies that the end of a business model based on corruption has arrived.
So some ambitious plans were laid out there, it sounded like to me. What do you think his chances are of achieving them?
Well, from what we see right now and from what we've seen in the past few months with all the intents to hinder him from taking over, I think it's only gonna continue, really. He is up against a very strong alliance of conservative politicians, the established political class that has been ruling the country for so many years, that is being blamed for demolishing democracy in Guatemala. So this is only gonna be further more difficult if he actually happens to take over. And he also doesn't have the majority in Congress. So it is a bit of a difficult situation for him. But yesterday when I spoke to him, he obviously said that he is optimistic that he can make alliances and that he can actually, through alliances, also kind of, you know, tackle the corruption, which is the main problem here in Guatemala. Everybody you talk to here says we need to get rid of corruption so other things work, for example, healthcare, for example, education. So this is the most important issue. But for now, there is no new president, really. We still have to wait if he actually is being able to take over today.
And just briefly, about 30 seconds, you talked to the president-elect. Any other things that stood out for you?
Well, one of his first actions that he pointed out is that he's going to ask the attorney general that you mentioned earlier to step down. He says, in his own words, there is no need for this woman anymore, Consuelo Porras. So this is his first action, and he seemed quite confident that he actually can do that. But the other question is if this person actually will also appear in his office to take this order from him. So lots of things still swinging here.
A lot of things swinging, a lot of moving pieces. And thank you, Nicole Reese, for putting them all together for us. Nicole Reese in Guatemala. Denmark has begun a new chapter in its royal history with King Frederick officially taking the throne. Thousands of people turned out in Copenhagen to see Denmark's prime minister formally proclaim Frederick King. He assumes the throne after the abdication of his mother, Queen Margrethe. She was the first Danish monarch to step down voluntarily in nearly 900 years. The abdication means Denmark will have two queens. Margrethe will keep her title while Friedrich's Australian-born wife becomes Queen Mary. You're watching DW News live from Berlin. From me, Nick Spicer, and the entire news team here, thanks for watching.